blessing to this house, I ask that you would stand and warmly welcome Minister Robin Beal.
You may be seated. Thank you. Whoa, this is on. It's really on.
This is right in here.
Okay. Thank you. I work with children, so I really, everywhere I go, I'm asked all the time about children, and one of the things I want to say is that I really, really, really love children, and because of that, one of the great things that I've learned from children is that they are visual, and I found out that maybe that's why I was supposed to be with them, because I'm very, very visual. I like to see things. I like to, you know, I have great envisionment of things. You can tell me a story and I start laughing really, really hard. It's because I not only hear it, but I can really, really get into trying to see it. So that's where I'm coming from today. And I didn't bring a Bible up because I write scriptures down, so I'm just wanting to talk about Christ being first. Really wanted to talk about Christ being first. Pastor Lanny brought out the scripture that I'm going to speak on, but about 6 months ago, I felt that Lord was calling me back to just a landmark of making sure that he was first and every aspect, you know, of my life, that I was putting him first. And so I began to really go into prayer and to fasting and to seeking the face of the Lord about it. And then a couple of months later, Pastor Lanny preached on Colossians 3, 1 and 2. And I had been writing and writing and writing about that. So I'm sort of coming from that. And one of the things that I want to establish first is that our God is not dead, and neither is our God weak. You know, sometimes we go through these things where there are all these different things, as you can see, in our lives that we're troubled with. And there's all these things that we're still trying to be, we're saying, God, how do I get rid of all of these things? But our God is not weak. In Ephesians 1, 21 and 22, it says, he is far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. He puts all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all the things in the church. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything that we go through that is too hard for God? And so sometimes we come to different levels in our walk and we say, oh, God, if you're going to tug at this or you're going to pull at this, this is a little too hard for me. It is too hard for us. But is there anything too hard for God? In Colossians, as I said, 3 and 1 and 2, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ. The Bible says if, but that means since. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. And I think about the word seek. I really like words because we have to break words down to the children. Sometimes I'll say a word and they'll look at me like, huh? And so then we find another word and they'll say, huh? And so then we find another word. So I want to give you some words for seek, because this is the time that Christ is calling the body to seek him in many ways. So another definition for seek is to study, to observe, to meditate, to investigate. I like that word, because investigate means you might have to turn back some covers and turn back some things. We're on a lifelong journey to get to know Jesus Christ. So investigate, inquire, and then I love this word, pursue. Every one of us in this building has pursued something we really wanted. And you know that. And especially if you're married, you know that you pursued something you really, really wanted. And I often think about my son. If I say the word no, he finds 15 different approaches to come back with the same question. And he's pursuing the word no. Well, Mom, Do you think we can do it tomorrow? Son, no, I'm not making a promise. Well, Mom, if I'm good, do you think that we can do it tomorrow evening? Son, I'm not answering. Well, Mom, do you think that Auntie, because he always comes up with Auntie, and that's Auntie in the back, do you think Auntie might take me if I'm good? I said, Son, there are no promises. You could say it 17 different ways, but there are no promises. But he pursues me. He pursues me. Then he starts doing the sweet things, and he starts making sure everything is put away in his room. And then 2 days later, he'll say, Mom, did you notice you haven't had to talk to me about this? Did you notice that? Did you get it, Mom? And you know why? Because he's pursuing me. Because he wants what he wants, and he's pursuing me. Well, do we pursue the Lord? Really get in a place where we say, you know, God, the Bible says to seek those things which are above, to pursue the Lord, to get in a place of prayer, to get in a place of calling on him, reading about him, talking to him, saying, God, what is your desire? What is it that you want of me? And how can I please you? I often think of the book of Esther, and I love the story of Esther. And I talk to my sister about Esther all the time. I read it over and over and over again because there's so many wonderful things in there to me. But there's a verse in Esther, and I just want to run to that verse. And you notice it's at the end, so I'm going towards the end. Esther, the second chapter, verse 15. It says this. It says that all the women, the history was, right before they go to the king, all the women could go into the chamber, and they could pick all these wonderful things before they go to the king to impress the king. So they could put on the jewelry they always wanted. They could put on the dress, the cloths they always wanted. They could adorn themselves in high fashion the way they always wanted. But then the Bible says that Esther, she didn't ask to go into any of that, and she didn't ask for any of those things. She went to the king's eunuch, and she said to him, I just want to be advised by you. I don't want to do this on my own. I just want you to suggest what I should do. What should I wear? How should I fix my hair? I just want you. In seeking our Lord, we got to get to the place that we're not trying to put on all of these things ourselves or take off all of these things ourselves. But when we get in the presence of God, we can just say, God, I just want you. And the closer I get to him, the closer I come to him, something strange happens. The closer I come, the more things he begins to strip off all by himself because he doesn't need me to do it. You see, I grew up in Pentecostal holiness. And in the Pentecostal holiness church, there was all this tradition and all of these things that brought condemnation. And so you just thought, hell, 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 I'm going to hell. That's all you knew. And so it almost seemed like an impossible task to please Jesus. But then Christ brought me out of that and brought me into some liberties. And I began to realize that I didn't have to walk around thinking I was displeasing him. All I had to do was draw closer to him. And the closer I draw, the more he peels off, the more he takes away. And so it didn't affect my love walk. In Romans 8 and 7 and 8, it says, it's like this. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We just have to understand that as we walking towards God, these things, they're not pleasing to God. These things are enmity towards God. Let me give you a list of these things. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, slander, foul talk, lying. Romans 13, 12 through 14 puts it like this. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I'm so excited about one thing that happens on a daily basis. When I walk outside of the door, I'm glad people don't see me like this. Aren't you glad that we're not seen like this? Now, our behaviors might make us be seen like this, but aren't you glad that he didn't stick signs all over our body and make us be seen like this? And he says, let us walk properly in the day, not reveling in drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But here's the verse that I want to get to, verse 14. It says, but put on Christ. Put on Christ and make no provision for the flesh. It fulfills its lust. How do we put on Christ? And the things that we go through on a daily basis, we say, God, how do we put on you? Well, I'm going to ask my sister to come forward. And since I'm putting on Christ, I'm taking these things off. This is putting on Christ. In Colossians 3, 12 through 14, it says for us to put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another, forgiving one another. Want me to pull back? Forgiving one another. It says to put on love and let us practice peace, having the peace of God rule in our heart, and let us be thankful. When we put on Christ, we put him on through seeking him. We put it on through asking God, what do you want of me? How can I please you? We put on Christ through repentance. And that's like a curse word because people don't want to hear that there is a time when you have to go to God and just really say, you know, Lord, I really messed up and I ask you to forgive me. Because not everything is a secret in our lives that we're not real about it. Some things we have to go to God and say, you know what, God, I really blew it. I feel like in the last couple of months I've been walking out this because Christ gave it to me to just read. And so you know what? Consequently, what's happening? I'm walking through different things. And man, I'll tell you, I went through one day where someone really gave me a tongue lashing, and I found out, man, that I still had to deal with anger. Because, man, I thought, even though I didn't say anything, and but I'll tell you, it took all day for me to go like this. My mouth stayed shut, but the anger was still raging. And it raged all day. How terrible, right? But it did. And I'm going to tell you something. I had to keep going to God. I kept praying and I said, Lord, just help me. Help me to lay this thing down. Help me, Lord, because I'm just really angry. I might as well tell you the way I was saying it. So when I finally went to God, I said, okay, God, here I am. And you know me better than anybody. And I'm just asking you to forgive me. Because though my mouth stayed shut, my heart was raging. I was saying it out loud through every action inside of me. So I said, God, forgive me. Just cleanse me and wash me and set me free, Father, and help me to deal with this better. And help me to love in the place of anger, no matter what's done to me. And the Lord began to show me more and more of this is an area that I'm working on in your life. And I'm going to put that spirit of love in you, and I'm going to let that fruit be stronger and better in your life. And I'm telling you, Christ is doing a work. Am I there yet? I'm coming. Do I feel it every day? Yes, because Christ is doing a work, and I'm endeavoring. The difference is I'm not fighting against him. I'm running to him. We have to realize that in some of these things, we're fighting against it. But in most of them, in every one of these, we got to run towards him. My sister and I were teasing downstairs, and I said, she was putting these things on my coat. I said, don't stick me. And don't prick me with that. And she says, and so when I started putting them on her, she was going, be careful, be careful. And she says, golly, you know the reason why people have a problem with all of these things? And I said, why? And she says, man, just think of what you got to go through to put these things on. You got to die. You got to really die. And you know, that's the answer. We're supposed to be dead. And thank God that, you know, I tease because we lost my dad several years ago, and my mom, when I go home to New York, says, let's go out to the burial site. Now, I have to tell you all, that is just the worst thing to me. I just don't get it. He's not there, but we're sitting there. And so my mom is just really into it. She's dusting off the plot, and she's looking, and she's telling all the stories of the past. And I am twiddling my thumbs, and this, okay, I'm just being honest. I'm going, I can't wait till I get out of here. I can't believe we're sitting here this long. This story is not funny. This is not even funny. This is gross to me. Why are we sitting here? I am just freaking out. I'm losing it because I cannot stand that. And, I mean, she gets real comfortable. She sits down. She's rubbing the plot, and she's just really in it. And I'm ready to run. And I'm afraid of where I'm standing. And I'm going, this is really soft, God. Hold me up. And I got all of these issues about being there. And so finally, 45 minutes later, and I do mean 45 to an hour, she says, okay, we can go. Well, my sister, myself, and everybody else, we're all sitting there going, huh. Oh, hallelujah. And we're running to the car, and my mom is still talking about everything. I look at that and I said, God, my dad doesn't care because he's no longer there and he's with the Lord. But I look and I say, is that the way we are with dead issues? Is that the way we are with the things that we need to let go? We're dusting it off. We're still reminiscing over it. We're still holding on to it, and we won't let go. And so because of that, it's harder for the new things to come into our life. I think about letting those things go, and something that the Lord gave me was steps. And thank you, Marcia, because she's going to fall out in that robe. Thank you. Steps to getting rid of our old characteristics. We need some steps to get rid of our old characteristics in drawing closer to the Lord. In Philippians 3:13 through 15, the Lord ministered this to me. Someone asked me, with all that I have been through as a child and with everything that I have come through, how did I keep my eyes on the Lord? I was really fortunate because at a young age, I was given this scripture, and they emphasized, I'm going to emphasize the part that they emphasized to me. It says, brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do forget, those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press everything that's in back of me. I got to get in the press. And press, you don't press backwards. You press forward. And I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward calling in Christ Jesus. What happened to me is I began to recognize as a young child that if I was going anywhere after being molested, after being beaten, after being homeless, after sleeping in cars, after not having the things that I needed as a child, I recognized that I had to get in the press. And the press was not behind me because every time I look back, I died. The press was in front of me. And in order to get rid of these things, what happened is I got in the press according to what the Lord was saying. And what I recognized is all of those things got smaller and smaller. And then the Lord took them away. The further I got in Christ, the harder it was, the closer I was to this mess, the harder it was to get over it. The further forward I got in Christ, there was a deliverance that came, and I'm telling you, I was no longer the same. Because I was in the press. Trials come, but new growth comes. Trials come to make us strong. They come to give us new growth. When your head feels like it's rolling down the street, don't worry about it. It'll make you stronger, because when you go back and you get the head and put it back on, you've learned something new about yourself. And it's growing. If you get in the press, one of the things you need to realize, if you get in the press and you're heading only towards that prize, only towards that prize, every other thing doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter about going back and trying to kill the people that tried to kill you. A few years ago, I was at a funeral. And it was quite a few years ago, at a funeral. And the woman whose husband did all of those things to me when we were placed there through social services, she's at the funeral. And she didn't expect me to come because I had to fly in for the funeral. She sits, and when she looked up, she just burst out in tears. Because, you see, she could have saved us. She could have done something. But instead, she chose not to. And so she looks at me, and she goes, "I am so sorry." Well, you know, the Lord had done a work in me to bring forgiveness many, 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 many years ago. As a child, He did that. And I just had that opportunity to look at her, and I said, "You know, I'm free. I'm not what the devil thought it would happen to my life. I'm far above that. And I set you free. I give you your freedom because I'm free." And just knowing that day when I left and I walked out of that funeral, just knowing that Christ had given me a liberty that I could not imagine. I was no longer the same. I was no longer the broken child. I was no longer the child that was carrying all of those things anymore. I was free. And I'm free today. And so one of the things that we need to know is, in coming out of it, we seek the face of the Lord. Number two, iron sharpeneth iron. And so as we get with our brothers and sisters in Christ and we rub each other in Proverbs 27:17, they can share knowledge with us. They can share truth with us, and we can grow, because as we rub up against each other, we're going to grow. We're going to grow in sharing with each other, number one, but we're also going to grow in areas that's going to be broken off of us. We're going to find out, "I'm not so kind. I'm not so loving. I'm not so truthful. I'm not so wonderful." You know, I tell my son sometimes, I said, "Son, stop singing the me, wonderful me song, and listen up." Because he sings that song really loud sometimes. You know, it's like, me, wonderful me. And I said, "No, the reason why they said you hit this child is because you're not so wonderful." Okay? And so the me, wonderful me, I sing the song. You sing the song. You just don't know you're singing it. So instead of going to a person after the iron is sharpening iron and say, "I'm sorry," we walk around with the me, wonderful me, and the same person comes back and says they're sorry 100 times. And you never say you're sorry. But one day, it's going to sharpen you and perfect you to the point that you can come back and humble yourself and say, "I'm sorry." One thing I learned about ministering to a lot of people out on the streets and drawing them in and asking God to begin to do a work, I love soul winning. And every year I set a goal in the presence of the Lord for how many people I want to be saved just through me ministering to them, through me going out witnessing. And this year the Lord has surpassed the goal, and He does every year. And those people are now serving Christ. But the one thing that God shows me as I'm doing this is some of them are not dead yet when they first come in. And so they rub me. They rub me. I mean, we rub. I mean, things that I'm like, "Why'd you do that?" And it's like, "Because I'm not dead yet." "You aren't either. But you just won't do this." but you're not dead yet either. And what the Lord has taught me through soul winning is that it's a lot of recognizing that you are not better than them. You are one of them, lest it be for the blood of Christ. This year, God has brought friends in. He's brought relatives in. He's brought two of the teachers in at the child care center, and he has done a wonderful work. I'm excited because he's bringing parents in. I have a chance to pray for parents. I have a chance to talk to a lot of people about Jesus Christ. We were just in Walmart, and while I was in the Walmart, I was talking with a lady that I taught with at another school, and I was directing her, and I asked her how she was doing in her walk with Christ, and she started crying, and she said, this and this and this is going on. So, you know, I was listening, and I was talking with her, and I turned and I said, can I pray with you? And she said, yes, you can pray with me. So I prayed with her, and I was walking away, and she said, Robin, and I said, yes. She said, you know, I prayed to see you one day. She said, I don't want to walk away like this. I want to accept Jesus again. I want to ask Jesus to come back into my heart. And we prayed, and then there was this, it was kind of comical. I'm standing waiting on them to, I went to get receipts for the church, and I'm standing, and I'm waiting, and I'm almost done, and I'm standing, and I'm waiting, and then this guy comes up to me. I'm getting ready to leave, and he says, hey. I said, yes. He said, are you passing that out? I said, what? And he said, that prayer stuff. So I said, why, do you need prayer? He said, yes. So I was like, okay. So I prayed with him too. And so I'm just looking, and there's a lady behind him, and she says, when you're done, just pray for me. So I'm like, I'm going to be kicked out of Walmart. You know, I got a prayer line going in Walmart. And so God began to show me something, that there are a lot of people, and if you and I would step forward, the world is dying, and we have the answer. And if we put Christ first, if we really come to a place that Christ is our provision, Christ is our everything, and we put him first, we draw closer through prayer. We draw closer through reading. We draw closer through reading the Word of God, Christian materials. We draw closer through coming out, attending church. We draw closer through hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We grow closer through rubbing and iron, sharpening iron. We grow closer. And the last thing I want to mention is cleaning up our environment. You know, this is a hard one to just finally say, God, there may be some things I have to get rid of. There may be some things I have to change to draw closer to you. I may have to move into areas. I might have to draw closer to friends in a different way. I had some friends that I had to minister to, and when they didn't accept Christ, I had to move away from them because they just weren't influencing me in the right direction. They were still bitter. They were still holding on to things. One of the young ladies that was in the home with us, her name is Sheila. I held on to Sheila for years because I knew what happened to her. And I mean, we were in our 20s, and I was still calling Sheila, trying to run Sheila down, trying to keep up with Sheila. And the Lord said to me one day, Robin, I've brought you to a new light, and you've ministered to Sheila. You can pray for Sheila, but Sheila's not taking you in the right direction. You got to let go. And I let go of her. I finally had to let go because I just, inside, I kept saying, but God, she's hurt like I was, and I've come out, and you've delivered me, and I wanted to rescue her. But I told Sheila all the right things, that I am not the rescuer. He is. And he said, let go and keep praying. And over the years, I've not been in touch with her or anything, but I do know that her family has come to Christ. I don't know about Sheila yet, but I know that her family has. Matthew, the last scripture, Lindsay, just go to that. Matthew 7, 7 through 8 says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door is open. Are you asking? Because that's the key to a changed life. If you're going to put Christ first, just go to him and ask for changes. Thank you.